This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
On Thursday, May 17th, Victoria Police published the findings of a report into police and young LGBTI people's perception of each other. 58% of young LGBTI people surveyed said they didn't believe police understand young LGBTI people's issues, with a mixed level of trust in police on various measures. Almost 95% of young LGBTI respondents had experienced some sort of discriminatory abuse in their lifetime, but only half indicated that they'd report a prejudice-motivated crime to police. There were 20 recommendations that the report made to Victoria Police under the four key themes: leadership, capacity, building, GLOWS, the LGBTI liaison officers, and reporting processes. Some of the recommendations were to provide a more visible police presence at young LGBTI people's events, increase training on LGBTI issues for recruits, current officers, and senior police, promote the role of GLOWS to increase awareness in LGBTI communities, consider recruitment strategies to increase LGBTI diversity within Victoria Police. Rachel Tyler-Jones and Dina Curie sat down with the Priority Communities Division Commander, Stuart Bateson, and unpacked the findings of the report, exploring how Victoria Police can meet the needs of the LGBTI communities, as well as building greater awareness within the force.
Victoria Police has launched a report that provides insight into police and young LGBTI people's perceptions of one another. Can you tell us what prompted this research in the first place?
Well, I think it's important. You know, we've been doing a lot of work with the LGBTI community over a number of years to try and build trust. You know, our relationship has been strained over the years, but it was worthy to check in and just see how we were going. And we wanted to do that, particularly with young people. Unfortunately for us, I guess it's brought back some really alarming results, not least of which is that 94% of the people surveyed said they had experienced some sort of abuse in their lifetime. And we're talking about young people between the ages of 16 and 25.
So how exactly did you go about getting the results?
So almost 80 young Victorians aged 16 to 25 participated in the online survey. Then we actually held a number of focus groups and interviews that took place across two regional Victorian sites. We also, as part of that survey, interviewed 360 officers. They actually responded to a survey rather than interviewed.
So it was on both sides of the coin?
Both sides of the coin. And what we found from the police point of view is that many of our officers lacked confidence. They were unsure how to communicate confidently with people from the LGBTI community. So that was an important learning for us as well.
Just roughly, what were the key findings? You've mentioned two of them, but if we just break it down for our listeners, what were the key findings that you found in the results?
So almost 60% of our frontline staff said they had received no training on LGBTI issues, and about 80% said they'd never consulted a GLOW. So that was very problematic for us. However, 42% of the young people surveyed said that they would not be confident in going to police to report victimisations. They said that confidence increased when they actually dealt with a GLOW. So our GLOW program's really important. We've extended that to 260 officers across the state, but we need to support those officers to be more confident and to use them to train and provide information to our frontline staff as well.
Could you maybe just tease that out for us a little bit and tell us what GLOW stands for and what it takes to become a GLOW officer?
So GLOW has become more of a brand than anything else, but it's our LGBTI liaison officer network. So we've started those back in the early 2000s, and really it's just a person that is able to confidently interact, and people from the LGBTI community can know, well, yes, they understand my issues and they'll be able to help me. And that's an important part for that.
You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9, and we're speaking to Commander Stuart Bateson from Victoria Police. One of the really interesting things is the fact that 60% of your frontline staff hadn't consulted a GLOW and didn't know what to do in these scenarios? Because the GLOW is an absolutely brilliant initiative. We're very familiar with it here at Joy. Mm. We see them a lot when we're, you know, the GLOWs are out at festivals, they're out at LGBTI venues. But kind of when you look at that research and realise that internally people aren't reaching out to GLOWs, so it maybe, was that result what you were expecting?
No, that was surprising to us, and I think that really showed somewhere where we can improve, because our GLOWs have been, as you said, really good at reaching out to the community and being visible and present and building trust with community, but they haven't necessarily looked inwards and seen how they could help, and nor have we actually pushed them into that space. So I think now that we've sort of got this result, we can say, hey, how can we actually build that relationship not only between the GLOWs and the community, but the GLOWs and other police? And that's certainly going to be a focus for us over the next few years.
So when you were all looking at these results and seeing what they were these the results that you were expecting from something like this?
Look, I guess it surprised me in particular that only, you know, just under half of young people said they'd report victimisation to us, that they would trust us enough to do that. I would have thought that would be higher. So, yes, that did surprise me. But when I talked to community members, it was no surprise to them. So I think that's the importance of doing research like this, to make sure that we understand the issues of the community and then respond to them. Because we perhaps thought we were doing a little bit better than that, and it shows we've got some real work in front of us.
Do you think that some of that hesitance to come forward is actually because the prejudice-motivated crime that they're talking about or considering in those situations is almost thought to be too everyday or too minor to report?
Look, perhaps, but it was also a really interesting finding that they didn't think that Victoria Police views, even though they didn't feel that they could always trust them, differed too much more than their general community. So that was an interesting thing as well. So not only have we got work to do within Victoria Police, I think it's an issue that the community need to grapple with as well, and just how important it is for young people from the LGBTI community to feel that they're valued. And I think that's the importance of being able to report victimisation, that when they come forward, their story will be respected and will be valued for what it is.
In regards to the survey and in regards to the findings and what we're talking about now, what exactly do you quantify as victimisation?
Well, it's interesting. That wasn't clearly spelt out in the survey and the question, so it was left to the definition of the person answering the survey. So, you know, I think victimisation is different for different people. But from my perspective, if you feel like you're being victimised, then that's real enough, and that's damaging enough. And, you know, even if it may well be harassment that falls short of breaking the law, we want that information, because we know that, you know, homophobic and transphobic commentary can often be a precursor to violence. So that kind of intelligence help us to deliver, you know, increased patrols in areas where it's happening.
You're on The Informer on Joy 94.9, and we're speaking with Commander Stuart Bateson from Victoria Police. So I guess now the next step is to figure out a way to get that message out to the community. So what steps are Victoria Police planning or thinking about taking after looking at these results to improve your relationship with young LGBTI people?
So the recommendations within the report are pretty clear. So there's talk around leadership, and I think that's a really important part within Victoria Police that we're really working towards. So it's about making sure that our senior leaders and our police station commanders understand the importance of being visible and available, and understanding and listening to the experiences of young people from the LGBTI community. There's also a little bit about expanding our GLOW network, making sure that they're much more visible and involved in community events. And there's also a little bit about training, you know, giving our frontline members the confidence to interact with the community. And that's certainly going to be where we concentrate our efforts over the next 12 months.
It kind of sounds like a whole rounding approach. Like, really, when you break it down that way, it does really sound like on every single side of this issue, we really need to do some work.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's also work that needs to happen in the community. This is not just a policing issue. It's really about the community come to grips. And, you know, it was interesting. I did some media last week and some of the commentary and the feedback coming back on social media, I think really speaks to, you know, the victimisation that some of these young people from the community had suffered over time and really calls out that this is an issue that's bigger than the police and something that I think we need leaders right across the community to step up and say enough. We're just not going to stand for it anymore.
Going back to what you were talking about with some of these maybe more minor crimes or the harassment that's maybe not yet a criminal offence, could you just talk us through how you would go about reporting a prejudice-motivated crime and what happens when you do?
So a prejudice-motivated crime is any crime that's motivated by prejudice. So it might be an assault, it might be a criminal damage. And when we actually see that's been motivated by hate or by prejudice, that allows us to charge on that extra category, and it also involves further sentencing options for the magistrate or judge. So that's an important part to call out. But, you know, also, as I said, you know, when it falls short of a criminal offence, but it's still homophobic, it's still transphobic, and it's still hateful, that's the kind of information that we need. And this is where I say to the community, we need that information reported into our GLOWs, because if it's happened regularly in certain places, then we need to step up our patrols and put a stop to it.
On a very practical level, how would you go about getting that information to the GLOWs?
So ring them is probably the best, and we've got a list of our GLOWs on our website, so that would probably be the best case scenario, or go in and see them in the police stations. I should also say that one of the more effective ways, if you want to remain anonymous, is to call Crime Stoppers, and they'll record that information for us.
I guess as I'm listening to this, I guess one of the things, and one of the interesting things is really, I'm still coming back to the frontline staff and how they felt in regard to this scenario. If we're creating a space, even though you are working on improving and the breadth of the GLOW program and what that means for our community, if we're creating a space where go to a GLOW instead of going to any other police officer, are you concerned about what that message might mean for further disenfranchising within both the police force and the community?
Yeah, I think that's really a good point. And, you know, we hope we're not in that position in another 6 or 12 months. But, you know, if we've got people that are experiencing that kind of homophobic, transphobic commentary, the best persons to go to at this point is GLOWs. And hopefully in 12 months, 18 months, you could go to any police officer and they would say, yes, I know that's not a crime, but I'm going to take some action anyway.
I know what to look for the GLOWs. I know what the abbreviation is. But for someone else in our community, being able to just search online and find where that is isn't necessarily something that's as easy to do. Is there a possible steps to be able to create better avenues for people to access the information so they can contact the GLOWs?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the other recommendations from the report was, you know, how can we develop other methods of reporting, and that's something that we've got to look at, where people can remain anonymous and report those minor infringements or offensive commentary. So that's a challenge for us too, but at this point in time, that the GLOWs are the best contact. But we do have to make them more visible. But if you go to the website, you'll find a list of them.
This isn't the results that anyone was expecting. We've certainly, there's been a lot of work that's been done. There's been a lot of work on many levels. But of course, suddenly when we look at these results, it kind of confirms what perhaps a lot of young people have been saying. So there is work that we have to do on every side of this. But what is the main thing that you would like to let the LGBTI community of Victoria know so that we can start to kind of build these bridges and work towards a better communication?
Well, I think the most important thing is that your experience, and if you are a victim of crime, please report it. You know, we will take that report seriously and we will take action. And if you're not satisfied with the service you get from the police, you should be highlighting that to the local managers or through the complaint system. But I encourage you to speak to a GLOW and gain their trust and talk to them about those issues.
Thank you for joining us on The Informer, Commander Stuart Bateson from the Victoria Police.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.